This is PSU Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate, hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Such a low-key week. Nothing interesting has happened. My two favorite groups of Americans, right-wing extremists and Taylor Swift fans, have nothing going on. It's been a very chill week. I'm enjoying the peace and solitude. Unless, of course, something did happen that you're going to bring up, Shelby, that I'm unaware of.
Yeah, no, it's been a week. I was glad we skipped pop culture last week. I had nothing to say, and we probably would have been canceled. You know, the ABC conglomerate probably would have found our podcast and
Shelby,
pulled
no
us.
One has ever found our podcast. Yeah. if there's one thing that we can be assured of in life, is that we will not be canceled for anything that is
complete
said
anonymity.
Unless one of us, unless you decide to become an influencer in your downtime or something, I think we'll be fine.
You think so? Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyways, starting off strong, no. It's been a lot. The discourse has been there. And so many feelings, so many thoughts. And
I feel like we can maybe perhaps save ourselves and not talk about the Charlie
Kirk.
You
don't need to talk about the Jimmy
things.
Kimmel. Okay.
But I was going to say, I do feel like the Jimmy Kimmel thing is slightly more interesting from an entertainment perspective.
I guess. State silencing entertaining, Matthew.
Well, from an entertainment perspective, as in that our podcast covers entertainment.
Irrelevant.
Not like,
relevant,
ooh,
yeah.
I love this little juicy saga.
Spicy
good time.
Yeah.
No, I mean, one, you famously hate Jimmy Kimmel. So, you should be, every time he, hosts anything, you're like, Jimmy Kimmel.
He's such a snooze. Well, you know what? You know what's funny is the joke that got him quote unquote canceled was pretty lame, all things considered. It was half-baked. It wasn't good.
It wasn't
edgy. It wasn't anything. And so, Jimmy Kimmel is not the greatest comedian of our time. He's not the greatest late night host. Whatever. He has legacy. I get it. But I'm officially not the biggest hater, it seems, because there was an entire effort to get him off the air, which unfortunately worked and is crazy and unhinged. And I do not support that. Let the record show.
Bring Jimmy Kimmel back, let's get him again. But
those Etsy witches I hired to get Jimmy Kimmel out of my life went too far. Okay,
have you ever hired an Etsy witch?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I just wondered.
It just seems like maybe now's the time. I don't know. There's a new era of Etsy witchery.
Was it Bustle or?
It was Jezebel.
Jezebel.
The biggest regret of their lives. They are clinging to their thoughts and prayers, hoping the FCC doesn't turn on them now. They've gotten too powerful. No, but Jimmy Kimmel, what are your thoughts? Please guide us into a more productive conversation.
Yes. So for those living under a rock,
I admire them. Who are they? Tell me your secrets.
For those of you who are not tapped into entertainment at all, and yet for some reason listening to this podcast, Charlie Kirk was assassinated.
Gun violence is bad.
My grandma texted me. She's like, "Have you ever heard of Charlie Kirk?" I was like, "I have."
What a blissful life she leads.
like she had no idea who he was. She was like, "Okay." I sent her some clips. She was like, "Oh, okay."
All of this will be redacted.
Right. Yes. Okay. So Charlie Kirk died. He was shot in the neck by an assailant. And then Jimmy Kimmel made a, I don't even necessarily know if it qualifies as a joke. Like, that's how unfunny it was. Sort of a vague statement that, like, perhaps this was, I think, before the information really came out as to who the shooter was. Like, there were like drips and drabs of like who the shooter was. And so, of course, people online were like, he's a trans person or whatever, the Republican side of things. And then Jimmy Kimmel made a half-baked statement sort of saying, like, well, what if the shooter was actually like a MAGA person because, you know, they're the ones with guns, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, had I watched I haven't actually watched the full monologue. I've seen like the clips or whatever going around, but I'm like, if you showed me a monologue and was like, oh, somebody got canceled for something that was said in this, what would it be? Like, I would have never flagged this moment. It's such sort of a nothing moment, it seems to me. Because it's not like a pointed joke. It's not funny. It's not like when Kathy Griffin held up Trump's severed head. You know, like, it's just such a random thing. But the FCC and Trump's administration basically latched onto this. They've been wanting to get rid of Jimmy Kimmel for quite some time because Kimmel makes fun of Trump. They used some sort of backdoor shenanigans through these media conglomerates that own local ABC stations to put pressure on like the larger ABC Disney corporation to get rid of Kimmel, saying that like these local stations in, you know, like Atlanta or Boston or whatever wouldn't play the Jimmy Kimmel episode, and so that ABC Disney needed to get rid of him. And ABC Disney, because of various, you know, mergers and things that they're trying to push through that need Trump's approval and, you know, various tax cuts and whatever, like, very quickly, I think, dismissed Kimmel. It did not seem like there was a lot of hand wringing. The news just sort of like came. This wasn't one of those stories where it was like, oh, like, what's gonna happen?
It was just find really out sudden,
oh
yeah.
there was talks of this person. It was just like announced that Kimmel is gone, and then and that's what has happened. There really hasn't been any information about that since, other than that Jimmy Kimmel supposedly like lawyering up, he's under contract, he's gonna sue, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about free speech that's come out of this. But the thing I think is interesting is the like standpoint, or the point of like Disney, and in particular Bob Iger, who is the CEO of Disney at the moment. And he like was, we've talked about him on the podcast before, like he ran Disney for a long time. He was considered like one of the most successful studio heads ever. He's the one who, you know, sort of brought on Marvel and Star Wars to Disney, really like built up all of these platforms. And then he left before the pandemic, and this guy named Bob Chapek took over. And then, you know, I think partially due to the pandemic, partially due to other things, Bob Chapek sort of like ran things into the ground a little bit and then got laid off, and Bob Iger was crapping on him on Twitter, and then Bob Iger came back. But since he has come back, he has proceeded to have a very unsuccessful run as Disney CEO, where he like mangled the various strikes, and there was lots of public issues with him saying like, oh, well, writers actually don't need that money, while he's on like a $1 billion jet cruise, and a lot of the Disney stuff from Marvel and Star Wars and Pixar has been flopping as of late. Now there's this whole debacle, and I just find it so fascinating that he sort of like left on a high note and then like couldn't quite get it together, and then comes back and screws us over to the point where his predecessor, Michael Eisner, who was the Disney CEO like back in the 90s during like when we were growing up, like he got on Twitter and was roasting Bob Iger about this and being like, why would you make this decision? Like, this is so it was, it felt so uncalled for and unnecessary. And also, like, don't you want to stand up to tyrants and free speech? And Bob Iger is loaded. So it's kind of like, and he's, you know, sort of at the end of his career anyway. So like, what
corporate
is
brain rot?
Right. It's just like, what is going on? Like, this man's legacy, I feel like, is completely in the toilet at this point. And now all of these people are, you know, boycotting Disney, whether it be actors or people like unsubscribing from Hulu. I don't know how much money that is costing them at the moment or how long, you know, those sort of boycotts will last. I think it depends on what happens and, you know, just the world.
Yeah.
But I don't, it is like, I find the choice that they made to get rid of Jimmy Kimmel so quickly.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's crazy. Just the, it's the fear of a fascist state. Like, I think that's really comes down to, like, they weighed the pros and cons of having this regime on their side, and they just immediately gut reaction were like, oh, yeah. I think because, to your point, they do have big plans for their mergers and taking over the the entertainment world even more so. Like, it's all just about their bottom line, and I think it's short-sighted. I'd hope it's short-sighted. I hope it turns out to be a complete misstep and that they have to walk it back somehow. I don't know how they could at this point. I feel like I support people's I think it's a terrible move that is a censorship, and the government should have no place controlling media like that. And so, yeah, I totally believe in consumers taking a stand and canceling what they can and speaking up and calling it out, naming it. And then also, yeah, I'm curious to see if that moves the needle in this exact instance, like if they actually walk back and bring Jimmy Kimmel back or anything like that, or if this is just a small battle in a long war we're facing. But yeah, it does seem short-sighted to me, but I think that speaks to how, you know, conservatism is maybe, that's where the pendulum's swinging. Like, Bob Iger got a lot of good press standing up to Ron DeSantis. Disney got a lot of good press standing up to Florida, but the tides are changing. And so that means the performance element, the political theater of it all, you know, they have to weigh that against what the general public cares about. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this exact story plays out. It'll be interesting to see what Jimmy Kimmel does next. Obviously, he's just one of a couple comedians at this point who lost their show for speaking out. And so, yeah, it's kind of like you'd hope that this is the one that's like, oh, okay, let's stop doing this, guy. Stop giving in. Like, please, someone have a backbone here. Is it just going to turn out like Jimmy Kimmel just... I don't know. Like, will the Oscars invite him back as like a performance? You know, like, who knows how it'll play out? I do not think ABC will have the guts to completely walk it back and rehire Jimmy at this moment. But that'd be a great story.
I mean, the thing with like Colbert is that, yes, like he was critical and whatever, but the like party line on that is like, oh, his show was just expensive and the ratings were bad. Like, nobody at, where is he at? CBS has said like, oh, he was fired for political things, even though that's like very much seemingly what happened. But it's crazy.
Right.
Jimmy Kimmel was like explicitly fired for this one political joke and really had nothing to do with anything. The other thing that I feel like is different about Disney than some of these other corporations is like, sure, do people know what NBC Universal is? Yes. But does NBC Universal like have fans? Does it like,
right?
Do you know what an NBC or a Universal movie is versus a Paramount film? Like, no, people don't. Where Disney, I think, is such a recognizable brand and makes so much of its money off of like branding that I think like tainting the brand has the potential to hurt it. Like, will Disney go under? Of course not. But, you know, like, if you're trying to make lots of money, maybe this is, you know, you're sort of like cutting off a section of the audience. Yeah. I also think it will be interesting because Donald Trump, in his, you know, excitement that Jimmy Kimmel had been cut and that Colbert is, you know, will be done at the end of the year, that said, oh, the only two people left are Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon, who are both on NBC, which is also the network that has SNL, which is coming back in a couple of weeks. And so I'm wondering whether or not, like, how they will sort of handle all of this, if they'll be coming into it from a place of like, you know what, we're going to do what we want to do and screw you guys. Like, we are going to go the opposite direction, or are they going to be trying to like soften things in relation to Trump? Like, I'm yeah, intrigued to see safe. What that looks yeah. like.
Yeah.
Because SNL yeah. typically doesn't really, like, pull punches in this regard. And while Jimmy Fallon, I think, is a pretty, like, you know, palatable person, I don't think Seth Meyers is in that same regard. So,
yeah,
it'll be, yeah. I'm interested to see what happens when that show comes back.
Yeah, no, it is always interesting to see what... what happens after a little fascism light, you know, like, oh... where will the line be next? But yeah, no, I mean, you'd hope that they kind of stand up, and because that's the thing, it's like, it, even like just stepping back and looking at it from a corporate standpoint, it's like bad business to let yourself be bullied so instantaneously, because then the bully knows they have the power and right. they can just make you do whatever they want. So it is weird to like give in. Like, it's weird to think that's a right strategy, because it just, it shows your cards. It shows how little faith you have in what you present. And so it is like, well, you would hope someone would have a little backbone just to protect their own interests, even like just to
right.
call it out and, you know, try and play hardball a little bit more. So we'll see. Well, but
also, entertainment is such like a liberal industry that you know that you're going to be pissing off the vast majority of sort of like the work of your workforce, which I think is interesting, and a large chunk of your audience. Also, Trump's approval ratings are at an all-time low at the moment, which, like, not to, you know, not to wade into that whole saga of things, but it's not necessarily like, oh, like 80% of America is with Donald Trump, and if you pivot fully in that direction, like, that will right. be good for you necessarily. Like, theoretically, in the world as it exists currently, we do have another election coming up within a, like, in a year and a month or whatever. So it's like, I don't know. It feels a bit hasty to me yeah. to be like, yeah, let's get rid of Kimmel, when you could end up in a situation where in a year and a half, you have a completely different government. And then all of a sudden you're sitting here like, oh, sorry, guys. But anyway.
Yeah, dark times, dark times. I also saw Stan Lee will be making an appearance at the Comic-Con.
I thought he was dead.
He is dead. So it's an AI-generated oh. hologram that will be available to pose for pictures and conversations for a price for any LA Comic-Con attendees. Perfect. Yeah, so living in the truly great age, no questions, no issues there. Absolutely unhinged. I saw that and I was like, oh my God, the hits keep coming. It's crazy to picture, one, that that exists, two, that Stanley's family is okay with it, and three, that someone would pay to have a conversation with a computer-generated auto-response hologram.
Shelby, if I died, would you want to have a conversation with an AI-generated no, version of me?
I would not. I don't need that. I'm sorry. You know what? I'll always have these recordings, and I can just, you know, deal with that. You know, I'll revisit those when I need a reminder of what I've lost.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess in that sense, it'd be easy to make a hologram of you, farm out a lot of these generate any of your responses. And I know I'd get some more, you know, it's an easy bot to make, just the most yes. unhinged ideas and takes you can have. And that's just what AI would feed me through your mouth. So it'd be fun to see, I guess. Is that the appeal? Is what can I make Stan Lee say? Like, I don't know. I just can't imagine thinking that's cool or a useful, healthy use of AI, which is still very unintelligent. Like, I just, I'm just shaking my head over here.
When we die, people will listen to this podcast more and will be like, oh, let me go back and like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be like, oh my God, 5 years since Shelby's death. Like, let's revisit the top hits of P.S. You're Wrong. And it'll just be 5 feet apart and the time I dragged you about Hustlers and probably that girl boss. What was that? The town or like the Melissa McCarthy?
The kitchen. A classic. I feel like what's going to happen is people are going to be like, oh, Matthew, we miss him. Like, let's go listen to the podcast. And then they're going to listen to 5 minutes of an episode and go, you know what?
I'm fine.
I think that was enough for me. I think I'm good.
My life is better.
You know what? I think he's actually fine.
Yeah. But I know people will be excited in the next 13 days for your next take. I mean, are you counting down? Are you ready for it?
Am I ready for it for the new Taylor Swift
album? Oh my gosh, you knew what I was referencing. Look at that. You are a Swiftie. You are dialed in.
I've been on the podcast long enough to know one, Taylor Swift's bad song, Are You Ready For It? And then two, the reference to the number 13. And also, yes, yeah. I knew that we were going to be discussing it at some point.
I'm proud of you.
She has her new album coming out, Life of a Showgirl, 900 bad album covers.
Well, 12. Keep rolling 12 out. 12 variants for the 12th album, yes.
Do we think, like, she must be, like, giddy, like, jonesing herself about the fact that the 13th album is going to come out and she's going to, you know, like, I already hate that album.
You're just like, you're like, fine, I'll take 12, but I cannot stand 13.
I'm like, let's do this like hotel elevators. We're just going to skip 13, go straight to 14. I don't have to worry about all of the 13 numbers or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, is your 13th album just going to be called 13? Has somebody come up with that idea already?
That? Yeah. I mean, for sure. Yeah.
I'm sure. Okay. Well, yeah. I just came up with that off of the top of my head.
No, yeah. It came here first. That's, yes, yeah, for sure. So that's Matt's contribution. Here.
That's the new, 1,000. Yeah. I'm like, that actually has to be. And that's honestly maybe her best album title because the last couple have been crap. But okay, so the album is coming out. She's October also, 3rd. Yes, then there was sort of rumblings that she was doing some kind of movie thing, but it's like, okay, what exactly is this? She announced it. I didn't really pay that much attention to it, but I was like, okay,
you were dialed in.
You were like,
oh my God, Shelby, we have to get tickets to this.
I was like, okay, she's doing a movie thing. I remember the last time. I'm like, okay, I need to. And I went to book the tickets and then they were like, you have to pay $19.
It's $12.
Like, $12. I remember the strategy from last time, which was,
yeah,
book a ticket to something else on AMC,
smashing machine,
and then sneak in to like the 8:30 a.m. screening of this movie. I did that. I booked my ticket to, what am I seeing that morning is really a great question.
The Lightning.
Something, yeah, I'm seeing The Chosen season 6. No, I'm seeing The Strangers 2, chapter 2.
Let me support
Riverdale alum, yeah, and go see The Strangers,
yeah,
dash chapter 2. So then I texted
it's
you
a dash,
about it.
It's not a colon. Is it The
no,
Strangers
it's
dash chapter
it's
2?
It's The Strangers dash chapter 2, not
oh,
a colon.
Interesting.
I texted you and was like, oh, like I got my ticket.
Like, yeah, you're like,
you
know, you
I'll be ready,
I'm ready
or
to
whatever.
Go.
Like, okay. Thinking, silly me, that this was going to be a visual album. I was like, yeah, oh, this is going to be great. It's not great.
You're like, I'll get to compare it to J-Lo.
I was like, perfect. I'll go watch this and then be like, this wasn't as good as Lemonade, you know, like as I'm prone to do. And then you told me, no, it's just lyric video.
Yeah. I mean, I told like, you what? Because it was on the announcement. It's like in AMC summary.
But I didn't read that. And I was like, wait, I'm going to go sit in a movie theater for 2 hours and watch lyric video.
It's like 90 minutes, maybe.
Kill me.
I think it's 80 minutes or something.
Do you think I'm allowed to be on my phone?
Yeah.
Like, is that?
I think it's probably one of the only movie theater moments that weekend where you would be welcome to be on your phone. Like, it's so the idea is she'll be premiering her music video in theaters for the lead single, which is going to be the Tale of Ophelia or whatever that track is. And then there will be some behind the scenes snippets of making that music video, and then it will just be the lyric videos for the remaining 11 tracks off the album. And so that's why it's called a listening party, because the idea is it'll be like a sing-along, it'll be a wear your costumes and party with other Taylor Swift fans vibe.
Let's pray to God that is not what is happening at the 8:30 screening.
You're committed, you're going.
Yes.
Oh, because you don't want Spotify to think you like Taylor Swift.
Well, that's the other thing, is that I was like, oh, this is actually is perfect.
Great.
Because now I can go listen to the album without having to listen to it. And then I won't have to deal with whatever that year was.
You know what? I like this for you. I think there's a universe in which this makes you enjoy the music more, because you're out of your head. There might be one or two other people in that screening, and their joy might be infectious enough that you're like, you know what? This is fun. So,
well, when I saw the last thing, the concert video, there was like nobody in that theater with me. It was like four of us watching it. I mean, again, I went to the earliest screening possible.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah. And then, I texted Sierra because we are hanging out like literally that entire day together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to this screening that morning, do you want to come with me? And she was like, no, I already have tickets the night before. And I was like, wow, fake fan. Like, and so then I was kind of like, oh, maybe this is sort of lame. Maybe people are going to be less incentivized to go see this a lot of time. Like, I feel like the fans are like, okay, obviously you have to go, but like,
it's already
all
like,
gonna be
it's,
out
it's and
won't the lyric
numbers.
Videos be on line, or is she saving like,
well, so it's like a 3-day, it's just that weekend in
right
theaters.
Yes.
So I guess I could envision her not releasing it on YouTube. Like, I hadn't thought of that, like if I will be able to see the music video outside of the theater, because I guess that would make sense, is that that is an exclusive premiere situation before it heads to streaming. So I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, I think the idea is more just to build interest and, you know, have these, you know, she went from doing come to my house and listen to this to really scaling back.
Under an hour and a half. Why did I assume that this was going to be like a 3-hour long engagement?
I don't know why. There's so much information available about this event. It's not a mystery. So yeah, it's just the music video, like just the lyric videos, and it's only a 12-track album. So yeah, it's going to be short. It's just going to be...
The event will begin at showtime and will not include trailers.
Yeah,
arrive on time, all
caps. Exactly. AMC needs to warn people of that, because literally 30 minutes are... I never show up to an AMC movie on time anymore. I just add 30 minutes to the start time. So I think they needed to clarify that. And yeah, she set it to be $12 to match the TS12. And I think it's doing well in pre-sales, obviously. And I think to your point, Sierra's going, like, I feel like it'll be a big first day. It'll be a way to like listen to the music and have a good, you know, fun listening party pre-programmed.
Like in New York, almost all of the Friday screenings are like either sold out or almost full.
Yeah.
But then I'm looking at the Saturday screenings and those are like not marked, almost full. And I think I'm planning on going on Sunday, which is...
You're going to the last screening, you're like, fine,
I'm like,
I'll do it. So I hadn't envisioned going, but I guess I'll have
you're
to
not
see
going
how that... Well, it's because, like, I mean, yeah, if
Shelby.
I had people to go
Shelby.
with, like, if I was like, oh yeah, let's just go listen to
if
it
I'm
but...
going, you've got to go, we have to talk about it on our podcast.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Talk about what? It's just a music
the
video.
The experience. I don't know how weird it is. What is going on? I feel like you should be there
but
Friday.
It's like a listening party. It's like going to, I can exactly picture the experience, and I'm glad people will get to do that. I don't know. It's an interesting concept, I guess.
BS things that you have done for Taylor Swift, it's insane BS. That you're not going to see an 89-minute long movie that you can go
it's
to
It's not
for
a
free.
Movie. It is a
whatever it is.
It's a playlist of YouTube lyric videos, you know? It's like,
let
okay,
the record
great.
Show Shelby is the one who's holding back on this. Also, apparently Bob Mackie was the costume designer for this.
Wow. Who's that?
Oh, Shelby. Bob Mackie is a very famous fashion costume designer, I guess. He did all of Cher's looks.
Oh, cute. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think she's dedicated to a vibe this era. I think, I know you don't like the variants. You don't like her look generally, but I think it's like, I don't know. I'm excited for this album. I think it'll be fun, pop, straightforward, like, you know, I can't imagine going to a listening party for Tortured Poets Department. I think this is going to be very sugary. You know, it's Max Martin and Shellback. It's going to be very energetic, dancey. So in that sense, fun to have this avenue for people to just like go and listen.
I already hate the fate of Ophelia as a
I know you are
title.
Such a
I'm like,
baby.
It's so annoying to me that
such an English
she,
major
it's like,
about this.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's that aspect of it, but it's gonna be so like everybody's out to get me, blah 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 blah.
Is that what Ophelia is about? I mean, I think Ophelia is about someone going crazy because she can't,
I guess, over a boy.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily like, oh my God, no one understands me. My name's Ophelia and you guys are just driving me nuts. You know, it's like,
I mean, I don't know. Ophelia just seems like a woebegone figure to me. You know, she'd also, God knows, do a song where she compares herself to Joan of Arc. But like, it's not like that's the vibe of Ophelia. She's kind of just like a nothing burger.
I don't
but
know
anyway.
The last time you read Hamlet. Like calling you out, I guess. Like, what's your reading on Ophelia? It seems pretty, you know, first year, if I had to guess.
okay,
it seems like you're coming in with a very male-centric look at Ophelia's role in the text. And
well, she's obviously just like a little bitch of a woman who can't quite take it. Am I wrong? I thought that was a universal.
I hope, honestly, this is what I want. I want Reputation era, like, I want it to be like, get thee to a nunnery, and it's like slutty Ophelia, and she's like, you bitches don't understand me. And
isn't get thee to a nunnery?
Oh, yeah. What is it, Matt?
Is that Ophelia?
Yes. Yes.
Why did I think that was from Romeo and Juliet?
You're like, Taylor Swift doesn't understand Hamlet. Taylor Swift has no business talking about Ophelia. Get her name out of her mouth. And you're like,
sorry that I mixed up my Shakespeare plays, whatever. Anyways, I hate this song, and I just know the vibe that it's gonna be, and I'm annoyed.
Well, I don't know the vibe. I'm curious. I here's my hope. I think either she should not be in it, and it should be she directs it, whatever, fine. But it stars someone else, and it's more storyboarded. Like, it's less like, oh, illusion. Like, you know, her music videos have generally been more less bad. Story, less like narrative driven. It's more like, oh, look, here's a vision, here's a visual here, here's a visual there, disjointed, whatever. Aside from something like The Man, which I don't remember if she directed.
Do you think she's going to be in a corset, sort of like the other Boleyn girl sort of energy for this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it'll all be showgirl-esque. I think she's made mention, like Taylor Nation posted a promo video of her talking about the era, and I think it's going to be very intent on sticking with the showgirl vibe.
Okay.
So I do not picture it being like a Hamlet era, like play gotcha. With that. I do feel like it'll stick with the showmance of it all. The like, yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, looking at all the variants, obviously they play into the title, but I do feel like that will be the look. That'll be the vibe. It'll be very it'll be very showgirly.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Well,
yeah.
We shall see. And then do we think currently, based on the Wikipedia page, there's 12 tracks on the original album, and then there's a bonus track on the iTunes exclusive, or no, that's an iTunes exclusive bonus video. Okay.
So yeah, no, there's, she has said explicitly that there will be no other tracks.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm taking her at her word. Like, sure, there's a universe in which she's like, JK, here's a 2 a.m. version. But yeah. I do think that the fact that she's mentioned it multiple times, that this is just like, there's no, like every variant has like, oh, special photos or like, oh, a secret poem, but none of them have mentioned like extra songs or a special feature or anything like that.
I mean, I guess when you're working with, it's just her and Jack Antonoff, they can million songs and just like run them off. Yeah. I feel like Max Martin is more highly in demand. Yeah. It's like he's like, you get a dozen. Yeah. And that's it. Then I got to go work with Demi Lovato or whoever else he is.
Yeah. I think it was all done during her European leg of the tour last year. So, so yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm excited. I'm excited just because I didn't think I needed to, but I guess I will, you know, for you, Matt, if it matters that much to you.
I'm like, I feel like one, we should just as informed people need to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're preaching, you know, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I consider my soul saved.
Like, what, we're gonna have a podcast about this and they're both gonna be like, oh yeah, I heard that
I'm sure it'll be like, I'm sure I'll see the music video and I'm sure I'll see TikToks about the experience, so that was my idea. Is like, it's like,
oh well, yeah,
it's not for me per se. I don't feel the need to go and dance with strangers in a half-filled movie theater, but I'll try. I will.
But as my favorite character from Hamlet, Juliet once said,
What did Juliet say?
Don't judge a book by the cover without reading it. And she's, I believe she said that to Iago, I think.
Iconic, yes.
And,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
the crossover, and so, you didn't know.
Right.
Did.
And so yeah. I thought that we, you know, like, I don't want to dump on something if I didn't see it. And I would really love the opportunity to complain about this. So I would like to go so that I can complain. No,
I think you're one step closer intent. To becoming a bigger fan than me, and I admire that journey. I look forward to it, to your metamorphosis.
Any other news to discuss, or shall we get to love it or hate it?
No, let's do love it or hate it.
Okay, I have a love it. This will come as a surprise to absolutely nobody, but the third Downton Abbey movie, Downton Abbey, the grand finale, came out in theaters last week.
Now, is that Downton Abbey dash grand finale, or is that colon?
It appears to be colon. Downton Abbey colon the grand finale.
Okay, perfect.
Yes, this is the sequel to Downton Abbey colon A New Era, which came out in 2022, and then just Downton Abbey, which was the first movie.
Yeah.
And this is set in 1930. The intrigue is around Lady Mary's divorce, which was a very, a faux pas during the day. I guess Matthew Good didn't want to come back for filming. He was not in the second movie either. I think he was in the first one, but he wasn't in the second one, and he's not in this one.
Wait, who? Isn't he dead?
Matthew Good.
Oh.
No, not Cousin Matthew, who she did marry, who's played by Dan Stevens.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
died
okay,
in
okay.
the series.
Okay.
But then she married somebody or another, I can't remember what his name who's played by the actor Matthew Good.
I see. Okay.
And Matthew Good was in the show, and I believe was in the first Downton Abbey movie. I can check that while we're chatting, but I don't think that he was definitely not in the second one. Yeah, he was in the first one. His character's name is Henry Talbot. He's not in the second one. So it's all about like her sort of getting a divorce and then trying to figure out sort of what to do with Downton now that Maggie Smith has passed away. I thought it was very well done, as all of the Downton properties are. I mean, it's like very similar sort of low stakes drama. I was crying. There's a very sort of like poignant scene with Maggie Smith at the end. Like, she's not in it, but you know, sort of about her. The score is so good. The theme song, whenever it starts playing, I'm always just like, and yes, supposedly this is the last one, but I'm also sort of like, there's really no reason why there wouldn't be more.
What are these people doing? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know if there's necessarily like going to be a fourth Downton Abbey movie with like this same exact cast, but it's like we seem like none of these people are that famous. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me like we're at 1930 now, like World War II is coming up. You can't tell me that we're not in 10 years getting some sort of like World War II themed version of the show.
But then that takes you out of the magic, the wealth, the escapism. But then you're just like sad.
But I think, I don't know. Like, I think that, like, what if it's sort of a, like a Chronicles of Narnia-esque sort of situation where it's like these little kids from London like come out to Downton Abbey.
Yeah, because their houses are being bombed and their families can't leave their jobs because they're impoverished.
Okay.
That's just sad.
Well, they dealt with World War One in this series, and
that's
the series
true.
Starts with the sinking of the Titanic. So let's not pretend like everything is.
I know,
like,
but World War Two is like a different beast, especially for that level of elitism and. UK.
I don't know. I think I'm just saying I would not be surprised if we got some sort of spin-off or reboot or something with at least some members of the original cast.
Yeah.
Because yes, they're not really doing very much of anything otherwise. And also, I have not watched The Gilded Age yet, but supposedly the timelines kind of sync up with them maybe introducing a young version of the mom of Cora into the Gilded Age.
I see.
And so that could sort of be like a, you know, tie-in or whatever.
But she's not American.
No, she is American.
Oh, she is.
That's the whole thing about Downton is that the mom is American and the dad is British. So it's like, you know.
Cute.
I guess. I haven't watched Downton, but the timeline supposedly I've read and
different
told me.
Different media owners, right?
I mean, yes, but you're telling me that HBO wouldn't I don't know what the licensing is for like a character name because it obviously wouldn't be the same actor or anything.
Right.
It would just be like a young person being like, "Oh, my name is Cora."
Yeah, and, no, you know, cute.
Whatever.
Definitely some crossover appeal. Yeah, the audiences, I'm sure, overlap. Not me, but a lot of them. Yeah.
I need to watch Gilded Age. But anyways, that's my hot take. I think the movie's
great.
If you're a Downton fan, go see it. If you're looking for a little something cozy, a great balm for
the world. I believe it. I thought about seeing it, but I just, you know. Didn't.
Okay, hateful. You'd be more likely to see it if I told you that there's a Sybil cameo.
Oh, wait, but she's dead.
Well, is she?
I'd love for Downton to enter the Riverdale territory and just.
Right. A comet hit the town and they're now back in the 1950s. So, everything
Amazing.
About that, Shelby? Everything about that?
That I would be dialed in. No, similarly, love
Jughead
it.
It's Jughead Crawley.
Yeah. Dan Stevens is like, I need to sing. I feel that I am needed somewhere singing.
Come on, Jelly Bean. We have to go war with the Southside Serpent. Riverdale. Love.
No, I've been watching a similarly cozy show, Alien Earth, which is the alien spinoff.
Is it a cozy show?
It's very cozy.
Interesting.
No.
That's what I've heard.
No, it's very gory. Lots of body gore. You know, it's an alien spinoff. It sort of, I think it's technically takes place before the movies happen. But it's set on Earth. It's a Hulu series. And it's actually like really good, like really well done, really well made. And I wasn't really expecting a lot. I just dialed in because I love a, I don't know, Aliens like so campy in a way. Obviously, I thought Romulus was really good. Sorry?
I said, are you a big Alien fan? I feel like I didn't realize.
I mean, I haven't like seen them all, but I do enjoy that genre, number one. And then, yeah, Alien Romulus was so good. And so it's just been like on the top of the head, top of the mind, you know? And so when Alien Earth came out, I was like, this probably isn't going to be good. And it'll probably be like kind of cheap and cheesy, but it's actually, I didn't know anything going into it, but it's in a very expensive show and they did a good job with it. And everyone's doing their most, you know? So it's like, it's been very entertaining and like a fun, not fun, like it's a nice weekly watch because you're, you know, dialed in, they're taking it seriously. And it's less like because it's a show and it's spread out over these episodes, it's very much less, you know, chest bursting alien baby coming out and sucking on a woman's breast, you know, like it's less about the alien gore and more about the psychology of these humans really just fucking up this situation. But there's like, yeah, so it's a lot of like intrigue and interesting character choices. And then on top of it, you have an alien. Basically, they catch an alien on Earth and they're kind of studying it. And then, of course, things go awry, as they always do. But it's also featuring these two corporate conglomerates who are battling each other for like the ownership of the alien, like the data that could come from this or whatever. So there's a lot of espionage happening. And so I don't know. It's been a really fun show. And I think the finale is this week. It's like 8 episodes. Again, expensive, gory, but a good time.
I have heard that it is good.
Yeah.
And I have watched the movies, so I'm intrigued.
It's like, yeah, I think there's a lot they do well, and it's like an interesting enough premise, you know, like what do you do when oops, aliens on Earth, you know? And yeah. I've enjoyed the Alien franchise generally. Like, I haven't seen a few of them, but the more recent stuff and then obviously the first film. So this is like a nice, it does a good job of like balancing the, I don't know, campiness of the premise of like this weird alien that just is intent on destroying you in the most violent ways possible. But also being an interesting, futuristic like society piece.
Okay, well, so,
good times.
Maybe is it a limited series or like will there be a second season?
Sure, they'd love to have a second season.
Okay,
I'm sure they could play with it, you know. That's like every franchise now. It's like Downton. It's like, will they ever, is anything fully done? I mean, The Summer I Turned Pretty ended and then immediately announced they're doing a movie, so it's like, you know, yeah. Never say never.
Katy Perry once said, just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over.
Yeah.
It's over, maybe. Yeah. You'll be coming over again.
Yeah. So,
in her best song, one of her best songs, I think, pre going to outer space.
Yeah, yeah.
So back when we thought, when the comeback was real, but then it wasn't. Well, okay. Thanks everybody for listening to all of this. We'll be back on Thursday with an episode about Stephen King's The Long Walk. Mm-hmm. We know that movie came out last week, but
nobody saw it.
Really wanted to see him or a big, beautiful journey.
Yeah.
And so we were like, you know what? Let's just do The Long Walk. So that's what we'll be talking about, and we will see you then.